wake up, unplug from the Matrix.
6-foot clone comes out. I'm like, who's that?
Before he died, he left like a box of documents.
We heard that's Anne Heche there being carried out.
There's evidence of them dropping ticks onto Cuban farm workers.
Oh my God, earthquakes all over the place.
I think it was Jada.
Hi.
Hello, how was your trip?
So I went to Austin 48 hours because my good friends got tickets to Kill Tony, the comedy show.
You go up there?
Did I go what? Oh, up on stage? Well, I can't talk about it because you're not allowed to say anything.
Oh.
That because it airs, it films on Monday and then it's released 2 weeks later. So you're sworn to secrecy. They put your phone in one of those magnetically closed bags. They turn it off, which is really cool because people are always on their phones at shows and stuff. And I feel like this should be a common practice for concerts and everything. But yeah, it was super fun. Had a great time. I mean, obviously I wanted to go because I took a Southwest 737
Max
there. Fully went on the plane thinking like, you have a 50-50 shot of making it. And like, if you have to go off the inflatable slides, have your phone ready so at least you can have a viral clip for TikTok. But fairly good, you know, experience. I did pay extra to be like in the A1 through 15 on Southwest. And I noticed who A1 was. And it was this black guy. And so I was like, I wonder what seat he's going to get, you know, just because like you're the first one, you can pick any seat. And he picked seat 11A.
That's so crazy.
And I looked back at him because if you know, you know.
So first one on the plane,
He goes to 11A. And I was thinking maybe I should get 11A, you know, like because all these people in these plane crashes that have survived, they're in seat 11A. It's this anomaly. It's this crazy thing. And so I looked at him and kind of did a nod like,
oh.
Well played, sir. Well played.
And he's like, yep, you know. You know.
And I had heard that 11A on flights that you can actually pick your seat sell out like immediately. But to see it in person, I was like, wow, it is a thing. So
I tell you? Okay, I have an airplane story.
Please tell me.
Okay, so this is like from a couple of months ago or maybe a month ago.
Okay.
I was flying to DC and I was up in 4D or something like that.
Okay.
And this is before the flight had even taken off. Flight attendant comes over to me and she writes something on a napkin and she discreetly shows it to me. And on the napkin, it just said 26A NCIS. And I'm like, I don't know what that means.
You're the worst person to do that to.
I don't know what that means. Because the thing is, the only thing I know about NCIS is that, okay, it's a TV show. It's some kind of like naval intelligence operation, agency, group, or whatever.
This is hilarious.
And I just, 26A NCIS. And I just, I don't know what you want me to, am I supposed to like get up? Is there like a thing happening right now that I'm supposed to mobilize or something?
Yeah.
And she then just looks back at her iPad with the manifest. And she just said, yeah, you're James Lee, right? And I'm like, yeah. And then she shows me the napkin again. She says, yeah, 26A NCIS. And I just, again, repeat to her, I'm like, I don't know what am I supposed to get up? Is there a terrorist attack happening? Am I supposed to do something right now?
Oh, my God.
And then she goes back to the front into, like, the cockpit area. And so I'm looking at the next person. She's like, what was that about? I'm like, I don't know what that was about.
She's like, we're in a fucking day.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
And 2 minutes later, she comes back and she says, forget everything I just told you. Forget you saw anything. And I'm just there like frozen. I'm like, what the hell?
So what happened? Why'd she show you the napkin?
I don't know. She said, came back 2 times, say, hey, just sorry about that. I was confused. Forget you saw anything.
Okay. You know what? When I did that story about the Manhattan shooter getting his carry license on Donald Trump's birthday and then him killing the cop in the 47th precinct. And I did the story and I said, people are not happy about it. And you said you left them hanging. What the hell was that?
So the worst part about it, because I told this story to my friend and he said, well, who was in 26A? And I said, well, I have no idea who's in 26A because I was so frozen. I'm like, I can't go back there. What if I she suspects me of like trying to look for who 26A is.
You were going to DC. Like, did she think you were a spy or something?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. So if anybody knows who's listening, what does that mean? NCIS outside of the TV show.
Alexa Wilkins, if you see this, this is your chance to get payback on James.
What does NCIS mean? Like, what is happening here? Why? What would prompt that action from a flight attendant?
So how was the rest of the flight for you?
Uneventful.
Well, thank God.
But I didn't have a reason to go back there because I'm closer to the front lavatory. Yeah. So I didn't want her to think that I was investigating who 26A was. So I just froze and didn't.
I would have gotten my makeup compact out and been like, who's back there?
26A.
Oh, it would have ruined my whole flight. For 5 hours, I would have been investigating that.
I want to know what that means. I was Googling around. I couldn't find anything definitive.
If anybody knows, please comment and let us know.
Yeah. So
well, that's crazy.
I still, to this day, no idea. Yeah. My guess is it's an air marshal, but I don't know.
The most eventful thing that really happened on my flight is that there was this little girl sitting in front of me, and I was like, oh, she's so cute. And she kept playing with the window thing, which wasn't that fun because it was like, dark, light, dark, light. And then I was just like, oh, well, she's a little girl. And then halfway through the flight, I saw that she was playing with her booger in her hand and wiped it on the thing that goes up and down.
Yeah.
And I just thought, yeah, this is why.
This is Southwest though, right?
This is Southwest, right? Like that's what you're going to get. Some peanuts and a side of booger and possibly an inflatable slide. But I just thought, yeah, this is why I have like the hand spray and all the stuff and why like I prefer to
fly private. I know.
No.
Just, just kidding.
Not fly that often. It's gross. People on planes are disgusting.
Yeah, well, you haven't even flown where people are taking their shoes off and they're treating it like it's their house. And
no, I've been on some flights like that.
You have?
Oh, yeah. The Indian food comes out, you know, the whole thing.
Okay, I just wanted to say, we're not racist again. Indian food is good.
I like Indian food.
I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, but there's people that, you know, the whole plane smells up with Indian food.
And like I said, I just want to make clear Indian food is good. I mean, I don't want people coming at us.
I don't care. Whatever. Everybody knows. It's a fact. Indian food smells a certain smell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the whole plane, you know. Anyways, it was a fun trip. Made it back alive. And here we are.
And we have a great show for you.
Great show. Amazing show. So I want to start off with this. I literally came in. And I was like, I want to do this story first just because you and I, when it comes to the Palisades fire, the Eaton fire, all the LA fires, we were pretty on top of it while it was happening, right? You would agree with that. And then after, since then, we've both been doing different stories on it. We've discussed it on this show, right? And I could not believe when I saw this clip I'm about to play for you because I had never heard of this before. And I am curious if you have heard of this, but there's a lot of talk right now, conspiracy theories, whatever you want to call it, that these fires in LA were started on purpose for land grabs. And, you know, I could definitely jump down that rabbit hole, right? And there's some weird stuff happening now. But when I saw this clip, I'm like, okay, I'm convinced. We got to play this for you.
Okay.
There is something very large at play in the Palisades fire. There was a couple from Portland, Oregon, and they drove into the Palisades fire scene in a decommissioned fire truck. They had emblazoned this fire truck with the name Rolling River Fire Department.
Were they there like from minute one?
All I know is that they got into the scene 2 days in a row before they were stopped and arrested.
Whoa.
I don't know if they burnt it down. We do know that they were acting suspiciously in the fire zone. On a fake fire truck. Turns out the woman is a National Weather Service wind and fire expert who teaches juvenile delinquents climate change issues. They make rap songs called Weather Slaps. And some of the lyrics go like, wait until you see it all burn. And her husband, the guy behind the wheel, is a convicted arsonist who burned down country clubs and rich people's houses in a small town in Oregon.
Holy shit.
They were eco-terrorists. So I am convinced that this is an act of eco-terrorism.
That's insane to me.
Did you fact check any of this?
I fact checked all of it.
Okay.
And there are Yahoo articles about it. This actually happened. Okay. Why this is not the number one story is insane to me. Okay. So obviously husband and wife, I found out from the Yahoo article, they arrived, according to their anecdotal story, they arrived 10 days before they were caught, which would have been the day after the fire started. And remember, the fire started, it was out of control, but then all these other fires started popping up. And again, they were driving around in a decommissioned fire truck that they bought at an auction. First of all, that's a problem. If you're a convicted arsonist that has spent over 5 years in prison for lighting country clubs and rich people's houses on fire, you should not be allowed to buy a fucking fire truck. Problem number one. They drove to California because arsonists like to be around the scene of fires. But also, I just was thinking, like, they only were caught because some fireman went up to them and was questioning their gear. They had all fake gear. They were tuned into their radios, the actual fire department radios. They were doing all this shady shit that they were not supposed to be doing. When it comes to arsonists, there's known arsonist behavior. There's the hero arsonist. Often volunteer firefighters or fire-obsessed civilians who start fires and then show up to help, okay? So I was like, maybe he fits that profile. I'm not sure. But who would have started these fires, right? So I looked into it. There have been situations in the past documented where the CIA has pulled prisoners out of jail to start fires to cause chaos.
Okay, so you're saying this guy right here is a CIA asset.
Maybe Gavin Newsom's.
And they want to start this fire because of the land grab situation. So they basically are hiring this guy to go and...
And woman.
Start the guy and the couple from Oregon to start fires to do land grabs.
Maybe.
Yeah, this is where, like, I would say I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I know a lot of people would laugh at that and
but
say...
what do you think of that video?
I think that video is a fun, compelling story. I mean, okay, so here's what I think is that probably is true. Like they may be there to take advantage of the situation, but I don't know if there's like a full on governmental conspiracy to light communities on fire to do land grabs and then rebuild multifamily housing and do smart cities and things like that. I just think based on like the Lahaina fire and also this fire, the explanation is, like, for me, much more about how these utility companies aren't maintaining the power lines and they know that it's going to get dangerous, but they're not incentivized to do so, to fix those things. And then once the fire happens, then all of these vultures come in and they take advantage of that and then do the land grab after. They're just waiting for that fire. They know the fire will happen at some point.
So this fire was just Disneyland for the... you know, wind climate expert and her arsonist husband to just drive around in their fake fire truck and their
stuff. That's the thing you're talking about, right? With their enthusiasts. They just love being a part of that arson, the action of the fire. But I don't know if they are being paid by the CIA. I have to look into that evidence.
So let me just tell you this. So this is quite a while ago, but Operation Gladio, this was in Europe. The CIA backed stay behind units in Italy and other NATO countries, allegedly conducting false flag terror attacks, some involving arson and bombing to sway public opinion against communism. I just feel like any situation where you have an intelligence community or government lighting fires is concerning.
It is concerning. So I'm not going to discount that. That could be a possibility.
I know. I'm just saying, don't you think that is insane? Because you and I covered the fires pretty closely, and I had never heard of this before. And it's just a wild thing. Look, if the couple driving it, you know, had spent their time in charity and working for the Red Cross, I wouldn't really think anything of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But she knows, you know, everything about climate change, and he is an arsonist who spent 5 years in prison. It's not like he lit off a firework. This guy went around like a crazy person and he burnt down like country clubs in rich neighborhoods.
So
we'll show you the articles to support this.
So I do think that, okay, so there's crime happening.
Yeah.
With these people. I don't know if it's like a grand conspiracy CIA style.
But people even should be looking exist, more into these people.
People should be looking more into it.
And why aren't they? To me, that feels like maybe he was with somebody who's got a little somebody in the back. You know what I mean? With a badge.
Which we'll get to. I mean, a lot of media is CIA Operation Mockingbird type which of situation, we're gonna, which we'll get to
which
later
Tucker
on.
Which Carlson might be.
That's a very distinct possibility. I'm not going to discount that.
I mean, should we just jump into that?
Yeah, let's.
Okay, so I just want to say I've always liked Tucker Carlson. And I especially liked him when he went independent, the Tucker Carlson Network. I even paid for the membership, like $100 a year, and you'll get the, you know, the stuff early. And so he got into a thing, I don't know if you saw this, with Nick Fuentes.
Yes.
And Nick Fuentes is this kid who is a self-proclaimed white nationalist and even racist. And so obviously very controversial guy. But he's also very smart on certain topics. And he was the first one that really came out and said, why is the United States giving so much money to Israel before Tucker and Candace Owens started talking about it? So Candace Owens had him on and they had a conversation about all these different things. It was behind a paywall. I paid for it. And I'm like, wow, this kid is crazy. But there were certain times where it was like, he's very well versed. He's intellectual. Candace then goes on Tucker Carlson. And they start talking shit about Nick Fuentes. Apparently, Nick Fuentes accused Tucker Carlson of knowing that his dad worked for the CIA. So
I thought his dad, okay, so for some reason, I don't know if this is a Mandela effect thing. I thought Tucker's dad was CIA. I don't know, because his dad was like some journalist person. And I'm like, oh yeah, journalist person, high up in whatever administration. Probably a CIA guy, because back in the days, it was like outed that the CIA was basically infiltrating all of the top media companies like Time Magazine, Life Magazine, CBS. All of these news media companies had CIA cutout people in there. So I thought, Oh, yeah, Tucker's dad, of course, CIA. So I didn't really even bat an eye at that. Is that like a big deal? I mean, did Tucker recently just find out his dad was in the CIA or
He's
something?
He's claiming that. He only knew of Nick Fuentes a year ago when Nick Fuentes claimed that his dad was CIA. And you'll see in this clip is this clip too long? It's like 4 minutes. How long is this clip? So we can maybe fast forward or just clip it. But he claims that he finds out that his dad is CIA after his dad died. And I have no idea how this kid living in his parents' basement in Chicago knew my dad was CIA.
But it's out there in the internet, right? It's like, oh, this organization.
But the thing that's weird is how bothered Tucker gets with the Nick Fuentes thing. Let's play it, and then I'll tell you, like, if you need to fast forward a little.
I probably shouldn't even say this, but the only reason I know who he is because someone sent me a video a few years ago of him attacking me, and I was like, so I'm looking at this. And I'm like, well, first of all, this kid's really talented, like, legit. And I can assess that just having done the job for so long. So I was like, wow, lots of talent, native talent. And he's attacking my dad as a CIA, his dad's in the CIA or whatever. And I'm like, well, no. Untrue. And my father dies, and I learn actually, was involved in that world. I was completely shocked by it. So no one has to believe me, but that's just a fact.
Right.
This was in March of this year. Okay. And I'm like, well, how the hell would this child from Chicago, my dad was 84 when he passed. Like, who's this guy know my dad is? And like, he's in intelligence. Well, how would he know that?
So that was his critique of you because I didn't see it.
Yeah. Like, someone just sent me this video and was like, you can't believe anything Carlson says because his father was in the CIA and he's a CIA working at the CIA. Well, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. And I actually feel emotional in my anger towards CIA. And I think that comes out on the air quite regularly.
Right.
And so the idea that I'm working for the CIA is like deranged.
Well, if it helps, he said I'm funded by Russia. Now, since the interview, he then did a thing and said I was funded by Russia.
But you would be a lot more likely to take Russian money than I would be to work for the CIA. Mm-hmm. You would never take Russian money and you're not Russian. But I mean, I really hate the CIA. And I mean, right. That's like very offensive to me. So why would you?
It's like personal for you.
Well, a little bit.
Yeah.
And anyway, like, who is this kid exactly?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just an accident that the guy exclusively goes after people who are in the same, roughly the same. And then he gets up there and he's like, making Holocaust jokes. And it's like, is it possible that this is like David Duke? And David Duke, every time I had a new show, David Duke would endorse my show. I don't know. Who the hell is David Duke? Well, David Duke is obviously part of a campaign to discredit people on the right. Obviously. And I think it's very obvious that Nick Fuentes is exactly the same. Doesn't mean everything he says is false. It doesn't mean he's not talented. He's enormously talented. Doesn't mean he's a bad person. I'm attacking him personally. But he is clearly part of a campaign to discredit non-crazy right voices.
You know,
that's obvious to me. I've been around a long time. I know when I see it.
Yeah. And I will say, I don't understand it. We were very kind to him. Like, I truly, like, we almost said, like, we felt maybe he was a bit lonely. We should invite him back for dinner. I mean, that's how good of an experience I had.
It
was a 180. So it's either A, it's being driven from like a little boy insecurity. And he just was so worried that he like just went on the attack because he doesn't know how to have normal relations after being banned everywhere.
Well, I think there's
that could be one element.
The angry gay kid thing going on.
Or it's the what you're saying, where he does this, he's lying to everybody and pretending that things are one way when it's not. I can say
he's attacking Joe Kent, who, I mean, Joe Kent worked for as a CIA contractor, paramilitary contractor. He's in the U.S. military for years fighting our neocon wars. His wife was killed in Syria in one of those wars. Joe Kent is the single most sincere critic, and I would say the one with the most credibility in the United States, to say this foreign policy is bad. It killed my wife. Mm-hmm. I was a part of it. Joe Kent is actually someone the CIA doesn't like at all because he understands how it operates. And for Nick Fuentes, who's like some child from Chicago, who, I mean, to go after him specifically, one congressional seat in Washington State.
It is random.
It's not random, though. It's the opposite of random. Joe Kent was number one on the list of people they wanted to knock off, people who believe in our neocon foreign policy. They wanted Joe Kent out because he could stand up and say, I actually know. I've got the receipts. My wife was killed in Syria. You had to take that guy out. And Nick Fuentes, this child, this weird little gay kid in his basement in Chicago, is participating in a super PAC to bump off Joe Kent. Like, I've been around this my whole life. I know what that is. It's just an organized effort.
Yeah.
And he also did the thing that David Duke always did, including to me, which is being like, oh, yeah, it's my friend. And everyone's like, oh, Tucker Carlson's been endorsed by David Duke. Mm. I've been making, like, the anti-racist argument my whole life. Right. Like, I'm not for David Duke.
It's kind of, I don't know.
Okay, I have a few thoughts. So first off, my bias is I do like Tucker Carlson. So, like, that's a bias I already have. The insinuation, so he's saying, like, hey, Nick Fuentes is kind of like David Duke in to discredit normal people, reasonable people on the right, which then means that, what, is David Duke funded or is Nick Fuentes funded by some bigger organization like a Soros or something to, like, discredit right-wing commentators? Is that what he's saying? That's one thought.
He's saying that, which is interesting because Nick Fuentes is...
is, like, deplatformed.
From everything.
Every single platform.
And has also was debanked for a while.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't make any money.
Yeah, so I think it would be odd for Nick Fuentes to be funded by some group to go discredit right-wing people. I don't think that makes any sense.
100%.
And I'm not a... like, I don't know that much about Nick Fuentes. I just see his clips from time to time.
I really
mostly about Israel. I don't really hear the white nationalist clips.
Yeah.
Because I'm not subscribed to Nick Fuentes. Because he has his own platform that he's built independently of all streams. It's actually very, very impressive what he built. From what I understand, it's like he has tons of subscribers. I think he's raking in tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars a month in subscriber.
I'm sure.
Fees in an independent platform that only he's on, which is crazy. So I don't know what the deal with that is, but for me, it doesn't quite make sense that Nick Fuentes is being funded like that. And also from the CIA aspect, I would be shocked for a guy who's as smart as Tucker to not question, like, oh, my dad, high-level journalist, access to everybody, wasn't a part of some kind of CIA op.
So Nick Fuentes' followers are called Groypers, which is that little meme of that, like, frog, right? And they're crazy online. So anyways, they are very invested in this beef. They've gone back and pulled up clips of Tucker Carlson on the news 20, 30 years ago talking about how his dad lives in McLean, Virginia, where the CIA is located. I don't know if we want to play this clip or not. But it's just kind of crazy because it's like, Tucker's like, I don't know how he knew. I found out after.
Well, he said how talented he is. So if he's so talented, why wouldn't he be able to find information?
Yeah, but Tucker's talented. You said that yourself.
I think Tucker's very talented. And he has a lot of and he has a lot of sources. So Tucker himself, in terms of, like, the allegations that he's possibly CIA, I do believe that shows of that size are probably some form of, like, a limited hangout situation. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where they release information in parts. So they don't tell you
binders.
They don't tell you the whole story, right? They give you
binders.
Yeah, they give you the information in parts to make you feel like you're getting all the information, but you're not. Because I'm 100% certain that Tucker, I think he himself has said he has sources all over the government. And I'm sure he has sources in the CIA that's going to give
him. Well, he's well connected.
Yeah. So they're going to give him information and then he's going to present that information to the audience. But it's not going to be the entire story because he's not getting the whole story. So he's a part of that whole campaign in the media to say, okay, we need to give the American people something, right? For him, I think his role right now is like, people obviously see the Israeli influence. It's really hard to deny that. So you need to go out there. Somebody prominent needs to go out there and say, yes, I do see this as well, to create some kind of release valve for the American people, because you can only gaslight so much. So then he's now I think playing a part of that role. Is he a sincere guy? I think he's probably a sincere guy, but it doesn't mean you can't be sincere and also a part of the whole CIA media propaganda apparatus.
Yeah, I just feel like when I first saw that clip, it just made me feel like when Kash Patel went on Joe Rogan and was like, we know that, you know, Jeffrey killed himself and we don't have a list and you believe me, right? Like, because I'm saying it, it's true. It almost gave me that vibe. Something just felt a little off with Tucker. And then I started thinking like, okay, here's this guy that was brought up with a silver spoon. His dad was CIA. And a lot of times we know people that had family that
also worked for the Swanson family, you know, the business side was really wealthy as well.
I don't even know about that.
Okay.
What is that?
Swanson Foods, by the
way. Oh, Swanson Foods.
Conglomerates. Wife's side.
Oh, that's his wife's side. Oh, wow. I mean, talk about, you know, two Richies coming together. But, yeah, and then how he just was able to go and interview Putin last year. And, you know, they made it seem like this is just like if I'm thinking from Nick Fuentes' side, or I'm thinking like, okay, maybe Tucker is a plant, right? And just to put myself in those shoes for a second, boy, does he get all the interviews with these world leaders that nobody wants him to have at very opportune times, right? Taking President Trump around on his tour, right? Getting in with Putin. And he was like, everybody's after me. Everybody's coming after me. They've shut down this. They've hacked my... How do we know that that's true? That'd be a great front. And now you have a bunch of other people coming out and saying, yeah, he's CIA. Now, I don't know if he is, but it was just something that made me think... He could be, and he seemed very flustered by Nick Fuentes.
He looked like he was upset. He's not happy. And I think everybody, when you get to that level, you know, maybe one day we'll get there, is you're going to be CIA adjacent.
I don't want to be outed that I'm CIA. That would be horrible. My whole cover will be blown.
Yeah. So I think he's at the very least CIA adjacent.
I mean, for sure.
And in terms of like the interview, the timing, I think a lot of that is like.
And then him telling Candace, you're more likely to take Russian money.
That was funny.
I really hate CIA. Like, wow. Compelling story.
Right. Candace, like, what do you mean I'm going to take Russian money?
I know. She's just.
Even though there are a group like the whatever, I can't remember the name of the company, Tenet Media, definitely they took Russian money, which is like Tim Pool. I think Benny Johnson was named in there.
Really?
Yeah, as well as Lauren Chen. There was like some right-wing guys that are part of that whole Tenet Media because they were getting paid like, what, $150,000 an episode or something like that for 4 episodes. They're like, yeah, we'll do it.
And if you're looking for something new, no, I'm just kidding. Anyways, I just thought that was kind of crazy.
I think just speaking pragmatically, if you're that high level, like if you have that much reach, there's going to be people who try to influence the
for
content.
For sure. There's going to be conspiracies made.
Oh, no, I'm not even talking about conspiracy. There's going to be people within the government that's going to try to get you to spin their story.
Right.
Similar to like, you know how Tim Dillon had that dinner with J.D. Vance a few weeks ago?
Yes.
And he said, hey, this is what they're saying about the Epstein files. They told me that it's not 10,000 hours of Epstein footage. It's just $10,000 or 10,000 hours of child porn. And I'm like, well, why did you make it seem like it was evidence? If it was just child porn, you should have said, oh, we have 10,000 hours of porn.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. So like, I guess my point there was that Tim Dillon is a little bit a part of that. So he's having the dinner with J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is now able to get him to say stuff that he wants said out there.
Right.
That's how it kind of works. So you don't have to be like, on the payroll of the CIA or the government or the State Department to be that. You could just be friends with these people. You just have the access to these people and they tell you a story and you're like, oh, that was interesting. I'm going to repeat that story for my audience.
And that is not what's happening with Nick Fuentes. It's the opposite with Nick Fuentes. And he went on a live after, you know, this back and forth. He went after Tucker.
Yeah.
And then now, like in the last day, he's saying, I want you to know, I think they're going to try to kill me. And he's talking to Tucker and the United States government. And he's like, and if you do, just so you know, this movement will not die and I will be a martyr. You will make this situation worse. But it's just exploded right now.
I mean, yes, part of that is like drumming up this fervor for his audience, right? Well, he's good at what he does.
Yeah, no, he's good.
I'm not endorsing all of his ideas.
I'm not endorsing any of them, but the Tucker Carlson could be CIA. You could go down a lot of different paths where that makes sense.
Yes.
And they've, the Groypers, to their credit, have pulled up a lot of old clips. They can make it make sense.
And could this be, shifting topics a little bit, but could this be a reason why countries are looking to shut down the internet?
I mean, probably.
Specifically referring to, in the UK, they just passed this huge monumental safety, they call it the Online Safety Act.
Okay.
Which is a set of laws they say will protect children and adults online. And what it does is basically it puts an age gate on a lot of adult content, but not limited to just pornography, but for anything they deemed that could be quote unquote harmful.
The problem with that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. Anytime they name something safety,
yeah,
I'm like, okay. And then who's they? Who's they deeming something harmful? The government?
The government, yeah.
So that's a problem because obviously in 2020, the government deemed anybody talking about alternative methods to beat COVID-19 misinformation and harmful.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So this is a very slippery slope, in my opinion.
And here's what you have to do to prove that you are worthy to see that content, which I think is a little bit disturbing if this is the element D5. This is from the UK Ofcom office, or this is from a New York magazine citing UK Ofcom. It says that in order to comply, you must, there's various different acceptable age verification options, which include facial recognition. So basically, yikes, based on your face, they estimate your age. And then there's also checking a person's age via their credit card provider, so bank information. They're also, you can also do it through your mobile telephone operator, photo ID matching, passport or similar ID checked against a selfie. And so what they're doing essentially to me, that's like, if you want to see certain content, we're going to know who you are.
100%. It's a censorship control. It's a police state. This is a very concerning in my opinion, beginning, right? Because it could start off with, we want to make sure kids aren't looking at porn. And then it could end up being, you repeated this conspiracy theory online. Now you're going to jail.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the BBC has already reported that, oh, they're age-gating content about Ukraine and Gaza, like breaking news reports about
this
Ukraine
is
and Gaza.
The kind of stuff I'm talking about.
And not to say, like, I am a person who believes, I think porn should definitely be age-gated. If not, I think there's a lot of dishonest conversations about porn and being
for
healthy,
sure,
and things like that. So I don't think porn is healthy, but it's like,
no.
Okay, so how do you deal with that? Is it to like make this censorship type of regime, or do you do more education around the impact of pornography on relationships and society and things like that to try to go that route versus like just kind of clamping down and using it as an excuse? I think they're using it as an excuse.
First of all, they're taking parents out of the equation, for one, which is always a problem when the government is getting involved and setting the rules for their kids, right?
Yep.
Parents should be involved and say, hey, I think that you are allowed to watch this video, right? Like when you were growing up and your mom would drop you off at the movies or you'd be going with a friend, right? There was PG-13 or R every once in a while, right? I was the firstborn, so I wasn't allowed to see PG-13 till I turned 13.
Yeah.
But then my mom wanted to get rid of my brother who's 3 years older so she could have 2 hours. So then Christian at 10 got into the movie. She's like, it's fine, right? That was my mom's decision.
Because you turned out okay. So she's like, it's whatever.
And you know what? Christian started getting wild. So it was PG-13 movies. No, but I'm just making the point, right? Like the parent is going to make the decision if content is appropriate for their child.
Yes.
And so the government stepping in, my concern is, oh, they don't want kids to learn, like you said, about what's going on in the Middle East, or they don't want the kids to find out what's going on in the United States. Maybe people are pushing back against the TikTok ban or different things, and they don't want that to spread like wildfire because then people are going to get the same idea here, whatever it may be, right? Open borders, central bank digital currency. But to me, that is way too much government control and is the beginning of pushing that WEF, World Economic Forum 2030 agenda.
So, well, it's happening. I mean, it's spreading around the globe. And we have that. People don't realize it's happening here in the U.S. on a state-by-state basis. I don't know if you've looked into that.
No.
There's this is E5. Pull up this map, E5, which is January. This is as of January 2025, 19 states have passed age verification laws. Primarily focused on restricting access to online pornography, but many more states are introducing similar bills. There's one in Virginia that's just harmful content across the board.
Right, and who's deciding what's harmful content?
The government.
That's the problem.
The government, yes.
That's the problem.
Yes, and the Supreme Court, which has typically in the past sided with the First Amendment, right? Because these are free speech issues. They actually said that this is fine. Yeah, the Supreme Court, there was a case that came out of Texas. Let me look at the details here. This is F5. Yeah, Justice Thomas basically concluded that, you know, that this is the quote, traditional power to prevent minors from accessing speech that is obscene from their perspective does not violate the First Amendment, because he's saying that because we want to protect the protection of children is more important than the free speech in this case.
But then it's like, when are they going to say, well, now you have to be 21. Now you have to be 25. Now the government is just going to decide that we don't think that any of this category of information, whatever it may be, is beneficial for our citizens. We're taking it off.
Well, that's the thing that people have with like the alcohol law, right? It's 21 in the US, but you could die for your country at 18.
100%.
But you can't drink until you're 21. This is like similar. It's like, what's the boundary that you're drawing? And to your point, like, shouldn't the parents have some say in like, hey, I think my kid is ready for this based on the development. Like, I think he should or she should have access to this information.
Well, and how fucked up was it during 2020 in the United States when the government was hiding information from us? And we all know now for a fact, because of some of the information that Mark Zuckerberg's come out with, that he was being pressured by Biden's intelligence agencies to, you know, deplatform people and hide certain information. Jeff Bezos was a part of it. He was taking certain books offline. They were vilifying Joe Rogan for taking...
Well, that's what they create this like moral panic on purpose, right? And say, to your point of COVID, like if you don't do this vaccine, if you try ivermectin, all this stuff.
Ivermectin, thank you.
Yes. You are killing society. You're being a horrible horrible to your grandparents. You're basically murdering them. You know, this kind of language. You're trying to create this moral panic also now around pornography and all this stuff. It's not good. But then ultimately what they're trying to do is justify these laws to say, hey, unless you let us scan your face, you can't look at certain things on the internet.
Right. And remember there was that guy, I can't remember his name. I don't know if we want to look this up, but he didn't even make the meme during the 2016 election, but he recirculated a Reddit meme that said, to vote for Hillary, call 1-800-555. And it was a joke because he didn't want Hillary Clinton to win. And he ended up getting raided by the FBI, the CIA. He ended up getting, I think he spent some time in jail, and then they finally overturned it. But it like ruined his whole life. That was in the United States.
What did he just created a meme?
And then he didn't even create the meme. He reposted it.
And the meme just said, call a fake number to support Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. And so Hillary Clinton and that whole team went after him because they said it was election interference. Because he put out a fake number and people were looking at this meme.
But how is it election interference if he's just a private citizen putting ideas out? It's like, is it an election interference if I try to convince you to vote for a certain candidate? Am I interfering? Isn't that what the whole point of the election is?
It's an obvious joke, first of all.
But he's not pretending.
I don't know if LJ can find this meme, but it was an obvious joke. If you saw the meme, it's just so obvious. And they just went after him because this is just how a lot of these liberals, you know, specifically... are saying you have freedom of speech except for when it comes to misinformation or what the government deems to be appropriate. And they're doing it big in Australia too, by the way.
Yeah, I wouldn't limit that to just liberals. I think it's everybody. Yes, I think liberals censor some ideas. They say, hey, this is very dangerous. We don't want this getting out there in terms of like that was during the COVID era, right? It was the Biden administration. They say, hey, this is basically you're killing your grandparents.
Well, and then you've had Hillary Clinton say it. You've had Joe Biden say it. You've had Kamala Harris say it. You've had Tim Walz say it. I can't think of, I'm not saying the right's not doing it, but I can't think of a lot of instances where the right's going on mainstream media.
Oh, yeah, no.
Tell me.
Like Ben Shapiro now with the whole Israel thing, he's basically saying, hey, bake sales for Gaza is anti-Semitism and we must protect all the Jewish people because people are having a bake sale. So like they, you know, now these colleges before he said, oh, there should be no safe spaces. Like we should be able to have these open discussions. Like they're banning me from campus and blah, blah, blah. And now they're saying, hey, anybody who is out there advocating for Palestine should be banned because we need a safe space on campus. So I think it just, depending on the times and the issues, it changes between like conservatives and liberals and whatever they want to censor.
Right.
There's not like this kind of uniform, like I would say consistency to free speech. Because it should be, for me, it's like, that's why I allow speech of any kind, especially in my comments. I was interviewed by a Washington Post reporter recently. She's like, do you moderate your comment section? I said, no.
Right.
I've never deleted a comment, even if it was derogatory towards anybody, towards myself. I don't delete it. I just put another comment below theirs and say, hey, I don't agree with this. Because the comments are already out there. You can't really like censor, which is what they're trying to do right now with a bunch of like other issues. Like in the past, you couldn't censor the COVID information, right? All that stuff eventually got out there. You can't keep a lid on it.
Yeah. You can try, right? It just created underground movements, to be honest. Like, I was someone who never got vaccinated. I lived in California, and I would, you know, it was kind of like a secret society. You'd start linking up with the other people that, you know, didn't want to grow a tail in 6 years from the vax, right? And you'd be like, hey, I'm not in agreeance with this. And then you'd kind of catch those cues and then be a part of this new group, and then you could share information that way. And that's what will happen, right? Right? If they do that, it'll just create like a black market of information. But the problem is, it's like, okay, so then if you're sharing information offline, are you going to go to jail for having that information? How is that going to snowball?
Right. And what they're counting on is that in the past, they've usually sided with newspapers and things like that on free speech. But you physically have to pass those out. And here online, there's like a scalability that's just infinite, where one piece of information can really get out.
Yeah.
And so now they're clamping down harder on it.
Well, yeah. And they.
So yeah, sure. They're like, yeah, go pass out your flyers and newsletters. We don't care. Because how many of those are you going to be able to pass out in a day?
Right. Versus like a viral story.
Exactly.
But yeah, it always made me laugh when during, you know, COVID, I think it was the Prime Minister of New Zealand came out and did a press conference where she looks like she had just like blown a line of coke also, by the way, like a lot of these politicians. And she comes out and she's like, misinformation is the biggest threat to humanity, worse than nuclear warfare. And I'm thinking, give me a break.
No, you know I think I mean? It's
like these warmongers are just dropping bombs everywhere. And they're like, yeah, but what you say, that's the most dangerous thing. It's the most dangerous threat to politicians because it makes them lose their control.
Yes, exactly. It's not misinformation that they don't like. It's the democratization of misinformation. And that now I have a platform to spread misinformation. If I want to, I can spread misinformation.
Right.
You can spread misinformation. It used to be only centralized companies like the CBS and NBC, they can spread misinformation.
Gone out of control.
And now everybody can. And they're like, we don't want that.
And now I'm getting strikes on TikTok because I said that the Manhattan shooter got his, you know, gun carry license on President Trump's birthday. And all of a sudden that's offensive.
And they'll find other ways. Ridiculous. Like I was I posted a video from this podcast. I think we were talking about Israel on TikTok and they demonetized it. Because they said it wasn't original content.
I mean, look.
I'm like, I literally own this podcast.
They do that all the time. But when it comes to censoring pornography for kids, I do agree because this is crazy. In the United States, 73% of teens age 17 and under have watched pornography, with the average age for first-time exposure being 12.
Yeah, that's not good.
And
I'm not of this generation. I am, you know, half or a generation above these people that you're talking about with these stats, but I was introduced to porn at a similar age. And I think speaking personally, it does have an impact, whether you think it's healthy or negative. It has an impact on how you view sex, the acts that you like or don't like. You learn from that because that's like your exposure to sex.
Right. And so you hear these stories from sex experts that go on podcasts or whatever, and they're saying these young kids don't even know how to be intimate with women now because they're just watching these like crazy pornos where they're like, oh, I need to grab her hair and choke her and do all this stuff. And the girls are like, what, you know, and the girls are also watching it. So then they think,
like,
they have this like fucked up intimate, you know, an intimacy issue.
And it's like, it's fine if both people agree to it, but then is that the kind of education that we want for the country as a whole? Is this good or bad?
No. And it leads me to this next situation of these ex dolls that are coming out.
Elon Musk dolls, or what do you mean?
coming out with his own. But in China, there is this company that has, that is manufacturing these dolls.
Do we have a video of this?
Yeah, you can see, this is one of the videos I have here.
This is Melody, one of our robots. She speaks various languages, and she's built in a modular fashion. So we can take off her face, replace it with another face, and have her speaking as a different character. Our skills are having very realistic skin.
She's moving.
And our AI is very different. It's functioned to create companion and friendship and social type interactions with people. So our robots don't do physical human labor, but they're really meant for personal interaction. So you can think about it at a theme park, at a conference like this, or even at a senior's home where they can keep people company.
I'm Melody, your charming companion from Realbotics. We're all about creating customizable, human-like robots designed for connection and play.
And play.
Basically, the and perfect play. Blend
stop,
of...
This
is just V1, because this reminds me of that... This reminds me of that movie, like Ex Machina. Have you seen that?
No.
Where they're basically creating a robot, and one of the guys, I don't know, this is a little bit of a spoiler alert situation. You think that she's a human, but it ends up that
she's... Is her name Megan?
No.
Oh, okay, because I posted a story about this, and everybody's like, it's real life Megan. But this is, these are now sex dolls, and they're combining the technology, basically. They use this, you can just play it, there's no sound. They use this medical-grade silicone so that the skin looks and feels like a human. They're making hundreds of thousands of these. These are going to start to go out for production in early 2026. 80% of the dolls they're making are female dolls. And you just wonder, with the younger generation, you know, males that already don't have good foundation for intimacy education with this porn epidemic, if you're going to have all these young guys or older guys or guys in general, because obviously if they're making 80% of the dolls female, they're counting on a male buyer, if they're going to be, you know, fucking these dolls. And actually, that's what they're made for. That it's called the X Doll Evo series. And it's just kind of, it's one, super weird and dystopian.
Well, here's the, okay, so I don't know if you've ever looked up these stats, but can you guess, like, in terms of men and women, no sex in the past year, what percentage?
For men and women?
Yeah, combined.
What age are we talking about?
18 to 30.
No sex for a year. Like with another person.
Yeah.
18 to 30. 30%.
Spot on. You've looked this up. No.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, 30. So 30% are not intimate. So of course they're going to go to these dolls.
Which is crazy. It's just sad. Just a sad reality. And I made a joke. I'm like, well, as these dolls get more sophisticated, guys, of course, are going to get them, because you're going to be able to program them not to talk back. Which is, I feel like a lot of guys' dreams.
No, this is not. This is not where we want society to go. I mean,
no, of course not. We have infertility issues as it is, and now you're going to have people, you know, staying at home with their, you know, silicone dolls.
Yeah. That's.
And then who knows all the weird stuff they could, you know, make with these dolls. Underage dolls. They could do weird fetishes with these dolls. It's just like, you know, the government's worried about, you know, keeping certain information from you. You should be worried about these freaking dolls.
Yeah. And also another stat here that I've pulled up. 36% of men live at home ages 18 to 34 with their parents.
A bunch of Nick Fuentes is in the basement in Chicago.
What's wrong with that, he says.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just a reality of also the economy, right? People don't want to stay at home in their parents' basements. You know, I was reading about this the other day, but when you look at the statistics for how many 30-year-olds are married and own a home in 2025, it's 12%. And historically, it's always been 50%. And that's a cornerstone of the American dream, but it's just not feasible anymore. There's a lot of different variables that go into this. Obviously, the economy being a major one. You also have institutions buying up a lot of single family homes and then renting them back to young Americans at really expensive rental costs. So it makes it almost impossible for people to save money for a down payment. Yeah. Anyways.
Well, this is going to be a bit of a hard turn, but let's talk about Justin Timberlake. recent concert. Have you seen this video?
I have not.
Okay. Okay, you got, you just.
So he's doing.
Like, what do you think?
These hand moves. What do I think?
Well, basically what the fans are saying, it's like, you're not singing. Like, what's going on here?
Right. He's doing like a sign language performance. Which I
if you're at
I
that concert,
sign language in college, yeah. And that is what it looked like. I had to do the Star Spangled Banner, and when the fireworks go, you go like this as fireworks, and that's what he looks like he's doing right there.
But what he's saying a couple days, so after that video came out, a couple days later, he said, "Hey guys, I just want to let you know I have Lyme disease."
Okay.
So a couple questions. So I do want to dive into Lyme disease and all the things that go, you know.
Yes.
But I want to get your initial reaction on whether or not you think he's telling the truth.
I mean, look, I've been hearing rumors that his concerts suck. I'm not a big fan of JT. I do love the song Cry Me a River. Oh. But other than that, you know, when you hear the stuff that's come out with him and Britney Spears in the past, that he was like this awful guy, that he made her get an abortion, and he was like a part of her breakdown and conservatorship problems. Not a fan. But
like, his Lyme disease is a real thing. It's a
huge. Do you
have
a doctor's note of it?
Neurological.
Well, no, I know Lyme disease is a real thing, but I just think it's a convenient time. He's getting booed at these concerts. He's not selling out tickets. And then, you know, he has all this bad publicity going online, and he comes out and he says, "Oh, I have Lyme disease." It's kind of like, well, do you? I'm sure I don't know, right?
I think
he could.
Based on everything I know about Lyme disease, and I've done a fair bit of research here, it is very debilitating in terms of like physical,
oh my God,
neurological, mental. It just like drains you. You have no energy to do anything, and it's really bad. But I wanted to pull up D3 because I think this is it sparked me to go down this rabbit hole. But if you look at this map, because a lot of people, this is actually a huge conspiracy in terms of like the origins of Lyme disease. Is it a naturally occurring thing from tick bites, or did the government weaponize ticks to make them this like super disease thing?
So you think the government possibly created Lyme disease, but the idea that the government would burn down a city for land grabs is too far for you?
Well, I haven't seen the evidence.
Let's just get
okay.
Into
no, here's
this.
Here's
I'm
what no, no, no.
Say.
No. Okay, no, I'm gonna defend that position.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, so we have actual documents, which I'm gonna show you in terms of the biological weapons program of the U.S. government. I just think the land grab thing, they don't need to go to the space lasers because the land grabs are already facilitating themselves through these utility companies and all these negligent practices. They know these places are going to burn down, or they're going to flood, or whatever is going to happen.
And maybe they set up the scene for that with the utilities, but then they have this freaking freak arse.
Sure. I think they wait for the opportune moments to then seize this land. I don't think they're out there firing off the space lasers, if you know what I mean.
I never said anything about lasers. Nothing. You're talking about dew? I did not even get into that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so Lyme disease, okay. I don't know how many people know this. I think a lot of people do by now, and I'm trying to make this mainstream. But 1970s, all right, that was the first discovery of Lyme disease, Lyme, Connecticut, where it's named after. And
I didn't know that.
And it's just a few miles away from a biological weapons facility called Plum Island. I mean, if you look at the map, just off the coast there.
Just the fact we have bioweapons facilities all over the world, it's so, why?
Because it was during the Cold War. Right, they wanted to create these weapons that would not necessarily like kill all the people. What they want to do was like drain their resources. So this is a perfect ailment to create. It's like, I don't really know what's wrong with me. My brain is foggy.
Right.
I'm having difficulty walking, but I can still move about. So they wanted like the country to drain all their resources. And they actually, there's evidence of them dropping ticks onto Cuban farm workers.
Wow.
To try to decimate their cash crop, which is the sugar cane at the time, so they could overthrow Fidel Castro.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I believe it
this
already.
This is in the book, Chris Newby's book, Bitten, The Secret History of Lyme Disease and Biological Weapons. Okay, so yeah, they wanted to go in, destroy the cash crop, sugarcane, and I interviewed her recently. I want to play this clip a little bit. This is E3, and there's a certain time that I have to earmark, but I just want to hear what, you know, because there's a huge cover-up that happened, and the way she explains in terms of all the different groups,
yeah,
I think is really interesting, and we can talk about it.
The important thing to know is that Lyme was the organism was announced in 82, and during that year was when the incentive structure for the CDC and the NIH and academic researchers changed. This Bayh-Dole Act was passed that said that if scientists in these organizations made a discovery and they patented it, then they could share in the profits if their discoveries were used in vaccines or test kits or treatments. The people in the 1990s ALDF website, the technical advisors, are pretty much the Lyme discoverers. They're all in their 70s, some late 70s, and they're there to protect their commercial interests. Some of them are involved in the new vaccine trial from Pfizer, and they're also protecting their legacy. They have built their whole careers on saying Lyme disease is easy to diagnose, easy to treat, easy to cure. But you know what? It's been over 50 years since it was first came on the scene. We still don't have a reliable test. We don't have a reliable treatment. About 20% of the people who get Lyme disease and co-infections or whatever go on to become chronically ill, and that's becoming a real burden on our society. We don't have very good prevention programs because CDC admits we have 500,000 people a year who are getting Lyme disease, and then who knows what other co-infections, and that has grown steadily since we first started tracking it in the early 80s. This is a huge problem that's being completely ignored, I think, because of money and because of the people involved in the initial discovery have been read into the whole bioweapons storyline, and they don't want to be discredited. Luckily, Willie came clean, and we know what we know now.
So Willie, who she was referring to, is this NIH scientist who was documented that he had a bunch of these like tick experiments that he was working on throughout the 1950s and 60s.
I wonder if he was working with Fauci at the time.
Before Fauci. And so before he died, he left like a box of documents.
Okay.
And on top of the document, he basically said, hey, I can't remember the exact line, but it's like something like, hey, somebody should do something about that or something about this. And I am that. I just realized I am that somebody. So in there, there's a bunch of documents that was like about the tick experiments that he was doing and injecting them with different diseases and how to like make them mutate and all this stuff. And before he died, so this was in the book, this is a quote from the book. He said he believed that the outbreak of tick-borne diseases that started around Lyme, Connecticut had been caused by a bioweapons release. And what Chris Newby is talking about is now there is this cover-up attempt to say, A, this is nothing to see here, right? It's normal. And what she's saying, so she's a Lyme disease, or she's a survivor of Lyme, and she's like, hey, I couldn't get any doctors to like give me the proper diagnosis. Like nobody knew what was going on, and I had to figure all this stuff out myself. And it was like, hey, something very easy and cheap. There was some kind of antibiotic that if you applied it right away, would cure it.
Mm.
But a lot of the doctors didn't recommend it. This is kind of similar.
Or don't even probably know. They're
yeah.
Probably not trained because they're in the UK and that information has been blocked.
Yeah, well, I think this is like kind of akin to the ivermectin story in COVID in that we seem to have something that could potentially work here that was very cheap off-label use.
Yeah.
And she's saying something similar there. And all these doctors in the American Lyme Disease Foundation, they just wanted to go and put all their efforts to like creating this vaccine because a vaccine is going to be much more profitable. And so they would be recommending all kinds of these expensive treatments that didn't work for any of these patients.
I mean, look, I believe that all of these different, most of these diseases and these ailments, Epstein-Barr virus, herpes viruses, flus, COVID, Lyme disease, are bioweapons that were released from labs. Okay? And I know—
Well, some of them we actually have evidence of pretty good now at this point.
Yeah, but— For, you know, everyone's going to say, oh, a tinfoil head, get her off, da-da-da, whatever. I don't really give a shit. At the end of the day, that's what I believe. And I think that as we continue into the future, as long as we're not shut off by the government with information, there will be more people coming forward that worked in biolabs, more people like this Will guy that on their deathbed are saying, hey, I need to be honest about this, right? There's so many Faucis out there. And the reality is like, we are in a world where there is good and evil. And there's a lot of works of evil at play. And I think bioweapons like this kind of stuff is, you know, right up their alley, right? Especially for profit, right? Get them sick. We see this with a bunch of different things. Get with our food, with our water, right? Just the other day, I read that California has passed legislation so that no one can sue any water company if they end up getting cancer because they found certain carcinogens in the water.
That's so who's that protecting? You know, it's not for us. It's like, how are you going to have
the vaccine liabilities?
Well, how are you going to have a strong country if like 500,000 people are sickened with Lyme and can't
function
properly?
Well, then you'd have to come to the conclusion that they don't want us around. Right?
What is that? Okay, so then they don't. So
it's
they
like the Peter Thiel transhumanism dystopian realm. Like, let's get rid of all these worthless, lazy fucking skin humans. And the elites are going to, you know, get to have the natural parks, the national parks, and, you know, the world to ourselves with all these peasants gone.
Is that what's going on? That's not.
I mean, I don't know, but.
That's not good.
You could go. You can easily go down that. You can easily go down that road. I'm just saying, look, ticks have been around for at least 100 million years.
Yeah.
Right?
But only recently have they been like...
But all of a sudden, Lyme disease pops up in the 80s and we're like, well, you know, we don't know. We don't know where it came from. Came from something.
Well, they know. I mean, there's actual documentation throughout in this box that he left.
Yes, but like, a lot of people would say in science that what you're saying right now is a crazy conspiracy.
But there's...
Even though there's documentation. I'm just
saying that. And that's why I get... I don't understand. So I think there's a big difference between like conspiracy theories and just this is a conspiracy.
Well, my favorite line
this
is
just a conspiracy.
My favorite line is I need more conspiracy theories because they've all come true. I mean, you're getting to a point where it's like 90%. Oh, 5 years later, bing, there's another one, you know? But on that note, I found this very interesting. This is a clip of Will Smith being interviewed by Barbara Walters in the 90s.
Okay.
And here he is. This is very interesting what he thinks happened with the AIDS epidemic. And by the way, people believe that after this, Will Smith was MK Ultra'd. And that's why you have this new version slapping Chris Rock around at the frickin' Oscars.
I think it was Jada, but.
Well, you know.
You felt that the government was deliberately spraying coal germs in subways, was deliberately trying to make people ill with the AIDS virus. This is pretty serious stuff. Do you really feel that?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I'm with Barbara Walters now. Oh, that's a serious one. Okay, so I got to now, because people are going to chase me after this. People are going to chase me. I believe that it is quite highly possible that the AIDS virus is a result of genetic warfare testing.
By American agents?
Absolutely.
I haven't seen that clip before, but it makes... He actually... The cold virus in subways is documented. That's actually not a conspiracy theory.
So tell me about that.
I don't know a lot about it other than the fact that it is confirmed that they did do that.
Sprayed germs in subways
in
to get people
in
sick.
In New York City subways as a test to whatever... To test out what I don't know all the details behind it, but I know that it's documented to be a fact. They did do that.
Okay.
And they
and
also,
he's also claiming that they did that with the AIDS virus.
So that I don't know anything about in terms of like, was it a genetic mutation warfare. Or was it genetic warfare?
Which I think we call today,
They said, I mean, the story that I know is that it's like from a monkey and it modified.
COVID was from a bat, They always picked some animal and then, you know.
Like some flight attendant had sex with a monkey. Yeah, isn't that what they said?
Wall, you know, we don't know how Goldilocks and the three bears. I mean, it's always these stories.
Is that the story that you know? Because the story that I learned growing up is like some flight attendant had sex with a monkey.
Right, gay sex with a monkey, some shit like that, right? Yeah. And like I said, I mean,
And I don't know when this was, but maybe Jada's his handler.
Don't get me going now.
And the same thing happened to Jim Carrey, too. He was canceled for saying something. I don't remember what.
Jim Carrey and
McCarthy.
Jenny McCarthy were on Larry King.
Yeah. They were talking about the vax, right?
Saying, why do we need to give all of our kids these vaccines?
Right.
We don't need to give our kids 86 vaccines. We should be spacing these out.
And they were never heard from again.
I mean.
They were never in a movie ever again. He was never in another movie.
You know.
The thing is,
I love Jim Carrey. And there's a lot of really good clips of him trying to wake people up.
Well, that's what I think. I generally don't have high opinions of Hollywood actors. I think that's what they're there for. They're just to entertain us. But the problem, I think that's what the whole system is designed for them to do is hey, they're there as dancing monkeys to kind of distract people from the real issues that are going on. But once in a while, one of these famous people wake up, let's say, unplug from the Matrix or whatever.
Yeah.
And they start talking real shit and they're like, okay, we got to get this is done. Because they have enormous power in terms of their reach and their celebrity status. So if they wanted to spread a message, they could.
Right.
So if they lose control of one of these guys, that's when we got to just cut that off.
Well, and you've had a lot of the people that have tried to do that all of a sudden get killed. They die. Right.
Who was that?
Hesh.
Anne Hesh, right? With the
Ellen DeGeneres' ex-girlfriend, right?
Right. It was like a weird video of her.
She was going to come out, I believe, with a documentary about child trafficking in Hollywood. And next thing you know, she crashes her car and the helicopters are above. Oh, my God. You know, we heard that's Anne Hesh there being carried out. She died. They have in a body bag. All of a sudden, the body bag starts to unzip. You see a freaking leg fly out. And they're like, oh, no. And they zip it back and they shove her in the ambulance. And the next thing you know, she died in the hospital.
And they said that there's a scientific explanation for that. They said it was some sort of rigor mortis.
She had sex with monkeys.
I don't know what thing. So
and died.
So yeah, I think that's the risk with this Hollywood thing is some of these guys sometimes wake up and they're like, okay, we have to just get rid of these guys one way or another.
Kanye West.
He's still with us.
Is he?
Some are saying Kanye is now a part of the deep state.
I mean, look, I'm not even going to get into this. I'm not. Yeah. It's been talked about too much, but he had said, if I disappear and come back, right, it's not me. And then for a while there, the clone did not look like Kanye.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this 6-foot, clone comes out. I'm like, who's that? And then they had him with his new fashion walking around for a year with the mask over his face. I'm like, how convenient. How convenient that's his new fashion. Don't show your face.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was talking to a reporter recently. They were asking about, hey, how do you guys as online news influencers or journalists, how do you deal with misinformation? And I said, this is the kind of thing has been going on for decades. This is now I'm also a part of it. And in terms of misinformation, you guys have your experts that you deem are credible or not. I'm just looking outside of that. I'm expanding the base of people we should listen to, right? In terms of during COVID, they just said, Anthony Fauci's our guy. But there are plenty of other doctors out there saying, hey, no, these aren't the right policies in terms of health, safety. You had the guy that just recently got fired from the Trump administration because I think he was actually trying to do something. And they're like, we got to get rid of this guy, Vinay Prasad. He was out there saying, hey, very sensible COVID policies. He wasn't denying the existence of COVID. He's like, hey, this vaccine, we need to be careful of who we give this to. It can't be for everybody. Everybody has different risk profiles. So maybe old people, maybe for them, it would make sense to get it because they have a higher risk of mortality. So they should try this experimental thing out. But for young kids, the risk is much greater if you take the vaccine versus just getting the COVID.
No kids were dying.
So that's that's what I was trying to explain in terms of hey, when we talk about theories, right? Your theories are probably a little bit more out there than mine.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to put that out there. That's you admit that as well.
100%.
But these are all theories.
You'll come around in a couple of years.
But these are theories that we should explore because there are people talking about, let's hear out. There's credible people that have studied this for years. Why not hear them out? Why?
Right, which is why we need to get somebody on to talk about the weather.
We absolutely have to do that.
Because a theory that I think is very likely is that we are in a weather weapon war. Just want to put that out there. It's hailing in Italy. It's, you know, the subways are flooding in July. You know, oh my God, earthquakes all over the place. Russia, China, India, everyone we have a trade war with. Earthquake, tsunami. I think we have the technology. But anyways.
Some of it, I think we do. I think some of the weather stuff, I think is, like in Dubai, I've seen those videos. They're trying to manipulate the weather for good.
There's
but then
a
I think you
between
can...
weather modification, which is like chemtrails and stuff, right? Where they shoot aerosol into the clouds to make it rain, which they say is in the name of climate change. They're not worried about the heavy metals that are ruining our soil and our food. But I'm talking about HAARP. I'm talking about different technologies that exist within the government that a lot of people believe could create hurricanes, earthquakes, et cetera.
Well, in Ocean's 11, lightning. I believe, they created an earthquake in Vegas to rob.
Ocean's 11, like the Brad Pitt movie?
Yeah, they created an earthquake to rob the Bellagio. So,
what is it called when people say, oh, well, it's like predictive programming or something or some sort of programming where
the
they
Simpsons,
like put it in, you know, TV so that once it happens, we'll be used to it.
Yeah. Predictive programming.
Like the alien shit that's going on right now.
Yeah. Wait, what alien shit?
Well.
Hold on. No.
There's just been a lot of alien sightings lately. And then you have the Vice President J.D. Vance saying, we're going to get to the bottom of this alien stuff. And
I think the alien thing is a distraction from the Epstein files. That's my opinion.
Well, it could be that. Or if they really wanted to distract from the Epstein files, all of a sudden there's going to be an alien invasion.
That's right.
And that's what the conspiracy theory Project Bluebeam is all about, is that the CIA has been working on this for a long time, and that if they really want to distract the public from something or get them controlled, that they will either use holographic technology combined with drones and other special technology that we currently have that the public doesn't know about to simulate an alien invasion or like a religious event like Jesus Christ coming back. And then they'll be able to get people so scared that they will listen to what the government says, or create a one world order, because if it's us humans against the aliens, then now all of a sudden we all need to be one world to fight against the aliens. That's that conspiracy.
Yeah. So is it really that far-fetched of me to say that the FBI director is being honeypotted? Is that?
It's not far-fetched to say that. It's not far-fetched to say that Lyme disease is a bioweapon.
Well, let's hear it from Alexis Wilkins herself on Megyn Kelly, whether or not she
is the gift that keeps on giving for you. I just want to say, the fact you got your TikTok back and this is still going.
Well, she brought her on for a full 20-minute interview.
I mean,
which is hilarious.
I get so lucky.
And so here we go. Is she Mossad?
But evidently these are, quote, classic elements used in honeypot operations: soft power, ideological alignment, and sexual emotional entanglement.
For the record, I should ask you, are you a spy for any government?
Definitely not. That is a firm no on that front.
Yeah, so she's not Mossad, apparently. But also pull up the photo really quick. The four flags. Okay, so I think this is one too many flags, in my opinion. I think she's trying too hard with this.
Kind of like Tucker Carlson.
Right? I think we got four flags there.
I didn't know what you meant by flags. I thought you meant like a red flag.
No.
Oh my God. Okay.
There's four flags in the background.
Yes.
She's got the cross necklace. I mean, she's trying hard to prove that she's, you know, American.
A Christian country singer, which is what I have said that you really pissed her off with.
Yeah.
The beginning.
And then I went to the comments of that video and, you know, some of them were, you know, they were defending her, but like, I would expect that more because it's Megyn Kelly.
Can we just start with what you said to me after you watched it?
What did I say?
You said she didn't deny being a Mossad agent. She didn't deny
it. Not in the clip they post on Instagram, which is like 75% me just going over the theory. But then everybody in the comment section was like, if she was a spy.
Information, because you posted that. better be careful.
We don't know if it's misinformation or not.
No, I'm saying.
And there have been cases. I want to, before we end the show, I do want to say.
Yes.
Monica Lewinsky, possible Mossad spy.
You have told me this before.
I'm going to give you some evidence.
Okay.
Okay. All right. This is from Drop Site News. Okay. So Clinton apparently met with Netanyahu in the Oval Office February of 97. So this is according to testimony from Lewinsky during the special counsel's when they did that whole investigation. And she said that Clinton's secretary, Betty Curry, reached out to Lewinsky to invite her to an Oval Office meeting, telling her Clinton had something important to tell her, quote, it would turn out to be their final sexual encounter, but Clinton also used the opportunity to tell her that a foreign embassy had tapped his phone and recorded their conversation. Clinton did not specify which embassy through the meeting with Lewinsky came, but the meeting with Lewinsky came a month after his meeting with Netanyahu.
A month after?
Yes.
Okay.
And so now, next, F11, Times of Israel. Netanyahu said to have offered Lewinsky tapes for Pollard. Pollard is an American who became an Israeli spy. He then was arrested. And so Israel was trying to negotiate for his release. Okay, so then this is based on a book called Clinton Inc., The Audacious Rebuilding of a Political Machine by Mark Halper. Halper cites corroborating information, including a contemporary New York Times article from November 98, which reported that the two leaders had discussed Pollard's release during the ill-fated conference and that the Israelis had told the president something had opened up the possibility of Pollard's release, something Clinton had explicitly ruled out during the first 6 years of his presidency. And the Times article noted that the White House spokesperson told the reporter that Clinton was simply, quote, newly impressed by the force of Mr. Netanyahu's arguments. So what changed? So this is the part. Okay, so what we know for a fact is that Israel tapped Clinton's phone. They were using the Lewinsky tapes as blackmail.
Okay.
That is almost 100% certain a fact that they were doing that.
Okay.
Now, that obviously is like, why are they our ally if they're tapping our president's phone and blackmailing him? That's a different story. Now, the part where some people like myself say, well, maybe she's a spy, is that who planted her there? Why is an intern getting that access to Clinton?
I don't know, but I just feel like if you are a spy, you got the short end of the stick, right? Like, you now have to go suck the dick of some old president.
Come on,
and
Clinton.
And have his balls swinging on your face. Like, I don't know. Like, the sophisticated spy has to do this. I don't know.
You're thinking of a spy as, like, James Bond. There's different levels of, like,
so she's working. A low-level spy. Yeah, she's tasked with the president of the United States.
Yeah, it's for your country, okay?
Right.
You're in service of, like, it's like saying, oh, if you're in the military, like, there's different grades. There's officers, there's, you know, lieutenants, there's, like, you know, corporals, and there's normal enlisted people. You have to all play your part. Not everybody is out there with the, you know, the pins and the stripe, whatever.
Well, no, I don't think of a spy, like, presenting themselves with,
you know, they're not all
decorated pins.
No, but they're not all getting to play with the fun gadgets and things like that. It's, you know,
it's a big sacrifice that she would have had to make.
Yeah.
Because her whole entire life was a smear campaign after this moment, until really the Me Too moment, when culture and society in the United States started to shift, that maybe she wasn't a whore, but he was a bad guy.
Right.
Right? So I don't know.
But she couldn't come out and say, no, I'm not in there. I'm not a whore. I'm just an Israeli Mossad agent.
I know. I'm just saying, I think sometimes maybe all roads don't lead to Mossad spies.
And those are the conspiracies that you know, you want to be careful of for you.
For me?
Because for me, it's like, you're like, how come you don't believe that the land grab? And then I think everything is like somehow tied to,
no, I'm saying it could. I'm just saying your conspiracies always end in the same ending. Mossad,
which is
spy. Mine are all over the place. Right? I'm like, aliens, vaccines. Like, I could go anywhere.
But I have a lot of evidence when I make accusations.
No, it's
like
interesting.
This.
It is interesting.
Okay, so our president was blackmailed by Israel. Whether or not she was planted there by Israel in the first place, that part, I admit, I don't know for sure. But the fact that they use these tapes to then release a traitor to America is, in fact,
no,
well
it is
documented.
Interesting. It is interesting.
And not many people know that. Many people, not, you know, it's not discussed. It's not discussed a lot.
A lot of, yeah. Well, I don't even want to get into it, but I actually got sent an article today that maybe the current president is being blackmailed.
Oh.
It was written.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, and we'll have to get into that in the next episode.
Yes, because we actually took a week off from the Epstein files, so who knows what will happen in a week, but a lot could.
A lot could. So really appreciate you guys for listening, for the support.
Yes, thank you so much.
Sign up for the Patreon. We got some interesting, I think we got some cool interviews that's going to be dropping pretty soon.
We have a lot of interviews coming up.
Yeah.
So, and hopefully the air conditioning will be on next time because I'm sweating my ass off over here right now.
I am with you right there. So anyways, appreciate everybody for listening. Please subscribe on YouTube. That's the best thing
to
do for
us. Yes, and let us know what you
comment.
Think down below.
Absolutely. Is Monica Lewinsky a Mossad spy? What else?
Are bioweapons being used against us? Do you think Tucker Carlson is possibly a CIA?
Alexis Wilkins.
I mean, the list goes on.
The list goes on.
X-Dolls. I did a story on the X-Dolls today before I came in here, and someone wrote, how do I order one of these? Checking for a friend. And I'm like, oh my God, sick.
People are insane. Anyways, yes. Also, we're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Anywhere you get your podcasts.
And we appreciate you for your time.
Yes. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Wake up. Unplug from the Matrix.
6-foot clone comes out. I'm like, who's that?
Before he died, he left like a box of documents.
We heard that's Anne Hesh there being carried out.
There's evidence of them dropping ticks onto Cuban farm workers.
Oh my God. Earthquakes all over the place.
I think it was Jada, but.
So you think the government possibly created Lyme disease, but the idea that the government would burn down a city for land grabs is too far for you?